Amen. It's good to worship the Most High God and be part of His family. Before we look at God's Word this morning, I got an invitation from another part of the family. This is a flyer that was just dropped off just a little while ago. And it is your invitation, my invitation, to join next week with Peace Tabernacle. We have this desire to be in some relationship with Peace Tabernacle, Pastor Phil Brownlee. They're right down the street, 3514 Oregon, which is right near Oregon and Potomac. And next week, they're having what they call Friends and Family Day. Their church starts at 10:30. Of course, if you want to worship there, you're free. But what I would recommend for a number of us to do is to come here, worship, and after church next week, if you're able, head on over there. They'll still be going. So we'll get to the end of their service and worship a little bit, and then they want to feed us all. So, sound good? We'll try to put this in the email as well or on Facebook, but that's our invitation for next week. So, all right, let's pray before we come before the Lord and His Word. Father, we thank You that You are a God who has spoken. Lord, You have made Yourself known in Your Word. And Lord, we're people who need to be taught. And we're people who need to be reminded. And so, Lord, this morning, may Your Word achieve its purpose in our lives. Lord, open our eyes, soften our hearts. We pray that You would encourage us this morning. And Lord, by Your grace, that You would even continue to change us in the ways that You want to. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I'm not getting ready to spend a bunch of money, pass it out here, but I have a card here that makes me an executive member of an organization that some of you are also members of, right? This is my Costco card. Some of you remember, it used to be, I think, American Express. It said, there are advertisements that said, membership has its privileges. And Costco is so smart that, get this, for me and for some of you, they got us to pay money to be able to shop at their store to pay more money. Huh? Because we want to be members of something, right? We want to be members of something. Well, this week and the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about membership in something that's far greater than Costco. That's the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus, the family of God. And Roy will unpack this next week. We'll take about 4 weeks, and we're going to just kind of go back to some sort of basic things here to remind us as we enter this fall season. We are members of God's family. Now, you all are also part of your nuclear family and your extended family. And like all of these families, the church is a mix of beauty and brokenness, right? And sometimes we fail to see one or the other or both of these things. So I want to talk about that a little bit this morning and really just how the church is the glorious, say that glorious, groaning, graciously graced family of God. All right, we are the glorious, groaning, graciously graced family of God. The church, we know, is not, first of all, this property. It could be gone tomorrow and we would still be the family of God. The church is not some institution. It is the family of God. And so let's just read briefly here from Ephesians 2, these verses 19 through 22. Just to get a picture of this, Paul says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Now, the letters of the New Testament were written to the family of God, and most of them, you know, refer to the members of the church as brothers and sisters. So, for instance, in Ephesians, what we just read from, The end of this book, Paul says, peace to the brothers and sisters and love and faith from God the Father. Family language, right? Peace to the brothers and sisters, love and faith from God the Father. Colossians, another book that's very similar to Ephesians, he says, to the saints, the holy ones, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. The church is the family of God. And even these verses, they talk about the privileges, the benefits that we have as members of the body of Christ. Peace and love made holy. The last couple of weeks, Pastor Barry was here and then Pastor Lance from California. And they actually were preaching on Ephesians as well. So we're kind of just as a reminder, this book is about two fundamental blessings that we have because of God's grace in Christ Jesus. One is the newness of life that we have, the forgiveness of our sins. We were dead in our sins and transgressions, and God made us alive in Christ Jesus, not by works, but by grace through faith in Christ alone. But then the other focus of Ephesians is that this happens not only individually, but God is taking us and making us a new community, a new people, a new family. And Ephesians 2, as we just read, talk about being fellow citizens, members of the household of God. Now, the household in the first century included everyone who was born into or adopted into the household unit. There were two ways you could get in. You were born into or you were adopted into the household unit. And for you and for me, we've been both, right? Because of Christ, born again to newness of life, and then given this spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father, into the family of God. So we are not, the scripture never has this picture that God's sort of fundamental plan is to only work with Jesus and me. His plan is to place us in a family where we are members of one another. And it's glorious, I say, because one of the things it means is we're not alone. Amen? We are not alone. That's one of the reasons when we have the Lord's Supper here, we circle up. Because we look to Christ, but we also look to one another. We're in family together. I would say to you, if you're here this morning and you feel alone, that's part of the brokenness of this world. There may be things you can do about it, but part of what faith requires is to say, you know what, I am actually connected to Christ and these other people. And then I want to live out of that. Satan wants to accuse us sometimes, right, of things that aren't true. You are not alone. You are not alone. It's glorious because we're members of this family by grace. And it's glorious for all sorts of reasons. One of the reasons I love the church and the family of God is because it's glorious because it's everywhere. It's a global family. As I was thinking about this week, a couple of people came to mind. I think I've got a picture here of one of our sisters. Do we have a slide for that? So this is me in Togo just about a month ago. And this is somebody that some of you have met, others have heard of. This is Sister Therese. I don't even know her last name. She's just always Sister Therese. But she is a faithful servant of Jesus who lives a few hours north of Lomé, the capital of Togo, and has this piece of land with a very humble house and another building that you all have helped to provide for her. And she provides for, shelters, and cares for 20 or more orphans who live there. She's an amazing woman who's in our family. We're in the family of God together. And I want to give thanks for that. I want to celebrate God's gift of our family members. Some of you saw this other picture going around this week of another part of the family. This is like... You can boast in the family of Jesus, right? But this made me encouraged this past week. So these are Iraqi refugees who are in the mountains of Iraq And you see what they're doing? They're holding up a sign that says, on the top of Sinjar Mountain, we are praying for Houston, Texas. H-U-S-T-O-N. That's the body of Christ. That's the family of God. These kids in Iraq praying for their family members in Houston, Texas. We want to celebrate the family of God. I wanted this morning to hear from a couple of you about what you are encouraged by in terms of the family of God. We're encouraged by the kids upstairs, right? Everybody hears that? They're having fun. But I want to ask a few of you to come up. So I've asked a few of you to come up this morning. Hannah and Stephen, Rachel, Tim and Christy, if you guys want to just come on up and maybe sit in the front here, they're going to just share briefly why they're glad to be part of the family of God here at New City South. So, all right, Stephen and Hannah, you want to start us off?
Good morning. Kevin asked, what are we thankful for being part of the family of God, and specific, I think, here in New City South. And I think for me, when I thought about it, I think the thing that I'm thankful about is just learning about the faithfulness of God. I remember reading somewhere that God is always faithful. You know, it's just a lot of times we're blind to it and we don't see it. And so I think when you're in community and with the earth family, and when I feel, you know, discouraged, or I feel like, man, what's God really doing? And then you hear somebody stand up and give a testimony about what God's doing in their life and how he's been faithful to them, that encourages me to see, like, man, God, you still are on the throne. You are still faithful to your people. I may not be able to see it. I may be totally blind to it right now, but here's a brother or here's a sister, and you're clearly moving in their life. And so I see it as a very huge source of encouragement.
The first thing that came to my mind when we were thinking about this was, Stephen thought of the passage, Titus 2. I'll give him credit for that. But of older women ministering to younger women, and in some of the work that we do with the Salvation Army, I started a group called Evenings of Empowerment, and it was for a bunch of single women who had joined the Salvation Army that were needing discipleship and just to learn about life and what it means to be a believer. And so far, except for one person, everyone that has come to speak has been from this congregation, which has just been so wonderful to see that there's just overflowing amount of women in here who are willing to come and speak into the lives of young women. So that was really cool.
Thank you, guys. That is encouraging. I didn't even know that. Wow. Come on up. This is Rachel Kurenziza. Yes, share with the church.
Good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, just Pastor Kevin just said, I'm Rachel, I'm Pastor Ruben's daughter. So I think being here in New City has been a blessing for me and my family. We just find a large and loving family, the thing we didn't expect when we were back home. We didn't know we'd find a place to live in with other people. No, Banyamulengen, Banyaranda, I mean American people. So it was really surprising for us. And other thing we thankful for is that we always have help from you guys, not only spiritually, also in our everyday life, since we still have more to learn and we're not familiar with the system. So thank you for everything, and it just helped us to learn more and know, experience about God's love through his people. Thank you so much.
Amen. Yeah. Can you ask everybody in your family just to stand a minute so people can maybe know the family?
Everybody.
Yeah. All right. Pastor Ruben, others. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right. Tim and Christy. Tim and Christy Sawyer.
Thanks, guys. My grandpa did a blessing over us one time when all the family had gathered after many years of being apart, and he said, this is what heaven is going to be like. And that gave me a lot of peace because, you know, sometimes when you're growing up and you're thinking, I hope Jesus doesn't come too soon because I got to finish college or have a family or have a kid or whatever. And it always gave me peace to know. But I want to one-up that. I want to say being here worshiping in this congregation is what heaven is, how I imagine it in my mind. And I don't mean just when we get together in community and not just when we do work days, but when we worship, it is powerful. I can see Christ in this congregation, and it's so hopeful and so powerful, and I just wanted to say thank you for that. And then I want to put a plug in for House Church. Just do it.
You hold it. I live with this. Just do it. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We moved here 2 years ago, and when we move with everything we have, all our baggage and everything, and step right into the middle of it and get on with it. So when we came here, we were looking for what can we do? What can we do to be involved with this church? We don't want to be a burden. We just want to be part of it. And so that came to pass. And then recently here, as you can tell by my voice and my hand shaking, I have been analyzed with some very interesting diseases, one of which is Parkinson's, and the other one is, they don't even know what it's called, but it's affected my lungs and breathing. So you guys, in your prayers, have meant the world to me. Especially right now. I mean, it's an interesting time. I do have one good thing to say, and that is this morning when I was in the kitchen, I forgot something upstairs, and I was in a hurry, and I ran upstairs. And I got to the top of the stairs, and I wasn't even breathing hard.
Yeah. Is that it?
Thank you, guys. Thanks to all of you. It's good to hear these stories, isn't it? And be reminded of what God is doing, even in the midst of just this little, small expression of His family. And to see that we are part of God's glorious family. Amen. We are also part of God's groaning family. You remember in, I think it's Romans 8, Paul says that all of creation groans as we long for the coming of Christ and His kingdom. And we see the world groaning all over. We turn on the news and the world is groaning. The streets of St. Louis are groaning. But the church also is groaning, isn't it? There are so many places within the church that we see not only the beauty, but also the brokenness of life as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, as those who are born into a fallen and broken and sinful world. Of course, you read the New Testament and you think about Paul. He writes to the brothers and sisters and that they have faith and hope and love and peace and all of these things. But those letters, when you read them, are also filled with other things, right? Like to Philippians, he says, I plead with you to agree with each other. You know, agree with each other. And he says in another place, in Galatians, he warns them and he says, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by each other. So this glorious church where they're brothers and sisters is also a place where there's division, where there's biting, where there's devouring. Of course, the disciples themselves, you couldn't really be closer to God on this earth than when you're around Jesus, right? And you think, okay, that's going to make everything just perfect. And the disciples are there, Donna, and they're arguing about who's the greatest. That's your family, church. Biting, devouring, arguing, struggling, wrestling, disagreeing, betraying. You've all heard the term dysfunctional family, right? And a dysfunctional family is a family that's not functioning. It's not functioning the way it's intended to be. Now, of course, there are very extreme examples of this that are so tragic that, you know, children need to be removed from the home and things like that. The fact is that every one of us are in families that are not fully functional, right? Every one of us are in families that have some amount of dysfunction. And every church and the body of Christ around the world is just the same, isn't it? We are part of this glorious, dearly loved, God came into the world and gave himself for this dysfunctional family. Sometimes it helps to name some of these broken places, but, you know, some things that came to my mind are we're a part of a family where oftentimes our brothers and sisters have more allegiance to their culture than they do to Christ. They place more hope in their government than they do their God. They have sometimes used their faith to bring oppression rather than freedom in places like slavery and segregation. The family has at times compromised its prophetic witness, has compromised the holiness of God, has compromised the truth of the gospel and the need for repentance and newness of life. We're part of a family that at times is filled with people who gossip and tear one another down. We're part of a family that is too often self-righteous and hypocritical. And we're part of a family where all of us at times have been hurt by one another and have hurt each other. Am I saying what's true this morning?
Yes.
I mean,
yes?
Glorious, but groaning body of Christ, family of God. And especially when I see that in others and I feel that hurt from others at times, what is my response? Have you heard of emancipation? Right? Where a child is 16, 17, not yet an adult, can go to the court and say, I'm out. Huh? I'm out of this family. You ever want to do that with the church? Yes? You ever want to do that with the family of God? Sometimes, of course, people do that. There are times when we remain in, but we sort of subtly emancipate ourselves. We distance ourselves from others. We, even if we don't remove ourselves from the church, we isolate ourselves. So we want to be honest about the groaning and then also our response to that at times that's not helpful. Do you ever question, I know you do, I do, question the power and the goodness of God and the effect of the gospel because of what I see in the family of God? Huh? Okay, God, if this is really true, if you have come into this world to bring newness of life, why is the church the way that it is? And for me, at times, some of you are part of the same neighborhood Facebook page that I'm part of, and you go on the Facebook page and you see people attacking one another, you see biting sarcasm, you see a failure to listen, to love. You see people who are telling lies instead of speaking the truth. And then to realize I'm also part of some Facebook groups that are connected to the church, completely focused on brothers and sisters within the family. And I see so many of the same things going on within the family of God. And then I have to be honest about my own reaction and response to that, that is oftentimes no better. Francis Schaeffer, I'm encouraged, if you feel that way ever about the family of God, you're not alone. And I'm encouraged because one of the guys I really respect, Francis Schaeffer, was a pastor, evangelist, leader in the church. He had a crisis in his own faith because of what he saw in the church. He wrote about it one place, and he talked about the spiritual crisis, and he'd been a pastor, he'd been working in Europe as a missionary. He said, gradually, however, a problem came to me. The problem of reality. You ever see that problem? And what he was talking about was, if the gospel is so powerful, why is it that there's so little reality of all of the things that Scripture calls us to among the family of God? And then he was honest and he said, why was it that there was less of that in his own life as well. I'm going to speak to his answer to that in just a minute, but he was honest about the groaning of the family of God, the glorious and the groaning family of God. But we are also the graciously graced family of God. I want to just turn your attention to the bulletin here a minute, and let's read together. I'll read Ephesians 4, 25 verses through verse 5, verse 2. This is also still part of the same letter about the same themes, the family of God. And Paul says, "Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example," or in another version, "be imitators of Christ, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." What would it be like to be a part of a family where everyone was speaking the truth in a loving way, where the speech was honest and building one another up? There it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. It wasn't corrupting. That word is the same word that's used of a rotting fish, okay? The corrupting, unwholesome talk. It smells. And he says, don't let this kind of talk come out of your mouth, but instead exchange it. Turn from one type of communication, one type of talking, one type of acting to another, and instead use words that build up and that benefit one another. Give grace to one another. Exchange bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, malice for kindness, tender-hearted forgiveness. Walk in love. Who doesn't want to be part of a family like that, right? To be part of a family that is so gracious as that. To be part of a church where when people walk in, so imagine this. You've cooked fish, right? And maybe you clean the raw fish and you put the fish stuff in your trash can. And then you forget about it and you go visit your family in another state for 3 or 4 days. And you come home. The minute you open your door, it stinks, right? But imagine being a family that instead has that putrid smell of rotting fish, has the scent of kindness, of tenderheartedness, of forgiveness, of love, and somebody walks into New City South, and that is the aroma. That's the vision that God has given us, that they walk into this little part of God's family, this little presence of the future right here in South City, and they are overwhelmed with that kindness, that tenderness, putting away bitterness, wrath. A community where we are imitators of Christ, following God's example, walking in love. That's some of you have heard of the phrase, right? The old bracelet, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Right? So he says, be imitators of God. Follow God's example, therefore. And it would look like that, kindness and love and grace. So I want to just finish this morning by asking how. Did you ever think of those WWJD bracelets and feel like you got beat up by it? What would Jesus do? I'm not Jesus. There's something right about this call to live this way. But then the question is, how? And I love how Paul frames it within this passage. I've been thinking about this lately, both in relation to nuclear families, extended families, other relationships, and the church. And if I can suggest this to you, I want to ask you, I believe you'll find this to be true, that one of the challenges is that we pretty much live fundamentally out of reaction to one another. Those places where we have been hurt, those places where we have been ignored, where we have been neglected, those places where people have not treated us as we should be treated legitimately. And our tendency then to live in response to that and reaction to that, which is normal, it's common, and yet it often leads us to a place that is no better. We live fundamentally out of the hurt and the pain that we've received. And as much as that is common, as much as I find myself doing that, I find very little hope in that place. Even this call to follow God's example. Where's the power? And Paul reminds us. He says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. As dearly loved children, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. I want to just give you a few words here that I think are words we need to grow in. One is lament. Say lament. Be honest about the groaning and the brokenness in this world, including the family of God. But the difference with lament and simply complaining is that we're bringing it to the Lord. We're doing it before God. Lament. Another word is repent. Repent. I know it has a bad connotation, the guy with the sign at the football game, right? But it simply means to turn. To turn from this one way to another way. But the thing with repentance in Scripture is that it is always part of the same coin, the flip side of the coin, of faith. So when we say repent, the next word has to be believe. Believe. Place your faith in the Lord. What would Jesus do only helps when we connect it to what Jesus did. What did he do? He loved you and he gave himself up for you. You are his dearly, dearly loved children. Imitators of Christ as beloved children. How do we create the type of family in our homes or the type of church family that we all long for? The type of family that God wants us to be? The type of family that we would want to be a part of? By living out of the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God. We literally need help from out of this world. And so often I try to wrestle this out on a horizontal plane, you know? I'm like, well, this person did this, or my family that I grew up in did this, or this is my Myers-Briggs temperament style and my personality. So that's, I need help from outside of this world. I need to be reminded that God gave himself up for me. Jesus is the one who says, come, all you who are weary. Weary of the groaning, weary of the brokenness, weary of other sin in your own. Jesus says, I came to save sinners. Jesus says, 70 times 7, I will be patient with you. Jesus says, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Jesus is the one who cried out on your behalf from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I want to just leave you with a picture here that I believe is critical in life in the glorious, groaning, graciously graced family of God. And that, brothers and sisters, is the picture of the Father. It's the picture of the Father. and his love. I think I was first introduced to this picture in Randy's house. It's on your wall, right, Randy? But then I was in a church in Oxford, England, and they had a giant banner of it hanging in the middle of their sanctuary. This is a picture of The Return of the Prodigal by Rembrandt. And it's a little hard to see maybe with the lights up there, but you see the old man in his dignity, his affluence, his power, his authority, surrounded by others, maybe family members, maybe other members of the household. And you see on his knees there, tattered, torn, dirty, broken, maybe with very little hope, returning. After he has lived a reckless life and made a mess of everything, coming home in humility, "Father, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be in your family. Take me as your servant." And you know the story. In this family, the father runs, embraces his son, says, "Find the best robe, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, kill the fattened calf. My son was lost and now he is found. He's home again." And to you and to me, as we seek to live in our own families, as we seek to live with one another in the family of God, we will only do it as we do it in and under the embrace of such an amazingly merciful, gracious Father. I would not want to be in the family of God apart from the love of the Father. And He is here with His open arms for you this morning, welcoming you and me into His household. I have a word this morning, and that is that you are, by God's grace, the dearly loved children of God. The dearly loved children of God. Freely you have received from Him. Freely love one another. Amen. Amen. Lord, lead us in living this out and feed us now at your table in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Roy is going to come up and lead us at the Lord's.